Hey guys, this is Adam the Dollar Bin. What you're going to listen to tonight is a quick review that we did, kind of what we read this week.
So what you're going to get is some mixed master magic. What we did is at Ted's house, we recorded a full show being a full review section where we each reviewed books and we talked about that. And we also talked about the topic, which is our Thanksgiving show. What I did is I went ahead and I cut the reviews. And that's what you're going to hear next as soon as Sean and I finish here. And then after that, you're going to hear Sean and I's wrap-up of the superhero Upstate Superhero Swap and Shop. And we're going to talk about everything that we bought there and review and stuff like that. The thing, you know, when Sean and I buy a bunch of shit, we like to talk about it. And so after this review section, you're going to hear that. And then next week, you'll get the Thanksgiving show that we recorded, our annual Thanksgiving show. And that'll be next week, because next week is Thanksgiving week. Go ahead, listen to these reviews. Hopefully you'll stick around through all that chaos and check out what Sean and I had to say about the Upstate Superhero Swap and Shop after that.
Catch you on the other side.
Are we recording?
Yes.
That's yeah. Not true.
We'll start the motherfucking show, son.
Hey, Henry, have you ever listened to our show before?
I listened to your show quite a lot, yeah, in the last maybe year or so.
Why?
We're sorry.
I think I'm actually pretty much caught up. Yeah.
There's people besides us like us. I still don't think I'll need to come here and record.
That's pretty much why I show
plus
up.
Plus shipping.
He's
going to
hang out with Devin after the show.
I wonder if that
was off a chair. We should auction it at the Heroes auction. Record with a dollar bill. That would be awesome.
Would you like to be a star?
Would you like to be listened to by 40 people?
Well, for only $45.99, we can make it happen.
We should auction off like the ability to sit at our booth at Heroes Con.
Shipping and handling is free.
I would pay.
Why with me? I'm working. They can follow me around all day.
You can sell our t-shirts.
You can follow Devin and Adams. They run back and forth, not knowing what the fuck they're doing. What room are we supposed to be in again?
Whatever, man. This past year was awesome.
Watch Ted give away t-shirts for free.
This year was
because no one will buy them.
This year was easy as fuck.
Yeah, because we just set up, hit record, left.
Yeah. I love how the, like right at the beginning too, we just kind of looked at each other like, are we really just going
to, yeah.
Yeah, I think we are.
We're fucking leaving. I think it's leaving. A great idea. I'm glad you guys did that.
But, hey, this is Adam and this is the Dollar Bin and around the Ted apartment table here, around the Ted, we have...
roll around the Ted.
Going around clockwise, starting with myself because I already introduced myself, so there's no point in starting anywhere else at this point.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
So to my left is Henry, and this is his first time on the Dollar Bin. You may have heard me talk about Henry's work at the Fluke show. We did the Fluke wrap-up show, and Sean and I talked about the books that we got. Henry is one of the people I talked about. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it. But Henry, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself at this point?
Okay. Hey, yeah, I'm Henry. So, and I live here in Charlotte and draw stuff. And yeah, this is great.
And then next to him is Brandon, big dog.
Woo woo.
I don't even need to do that. Yeah, I just got Sean walks around.
That's her favorite part of the show. What are you talking about?
It's all downhill from now.
She misses our Arsenio Hall show so much.
This is the first time I did a show with him. I was just like looking down. He was like, "Yeah, this is Brandon, aka Big Dog." I was like, "Is really this guy's a big dog?" Yeah. That really happened. That's fucking awesome. All right.
So next to him is Ted.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Devin.
Hello, Paris.
That's the most you'll hear out of him all day.
Hey, Verbata.
Because he's reading comics.
By the way, two Devin shows in a row. Let's give a round of applause.
Hey, Devin.
Yay.
Hey.
Yay. They were like a month apart.
And then Heather.
Hello.
Brian.
Hi.
And Sean.
Hi, everybody.
First, you know, I'm going to try to tighten up the format of the show a little bit. Try to keep it fun.
Your daddy's calling you.
Look at that.
Aww.
It is the holidays.
So yeah, so I want to let's see. We used to do the old Acme Comics format when we used to record there. That was in Columbia. And Devin,
no, that's Devin. We got Devin too.
Devin, yeah. We picked up Devin there.
Devin.
So anyway, we kind of used to start out with just kind of like a few minutes of news and or comic related stuff that's been going on. If anybody listened to last week's show, I talked about the superhero swap and shop that we had in Greenville.
How was that, Adam?
No, it was really fun. I think everybody had a good time. Sean and I left with more stuff than we brought, which was kind of the opposite of what we were supposed to do.
I got a broken up Slave One, and it is so awesome. And I put it with my G.I. Joe headquarters on the helipad, and it's great.
And a Jabba the Hutt missing an arm.
Yes.
Just one arm?
Mm-hmm. Just one.
And some creepy cool Santa Claus thing.
It's not creepy. It's just a Santa Claus. You think it's creepy.
But it was a lot of fun, and you know, so many people there had such great deals that I was just buying stuff left and right, and it was fun. Good times. I bought the Lex Luthor Brian Azzarello
that's
trade.
That's a different show we're going to do.
I like that. I like that book quite a bit.
I hadn't read that since the issues, so I wanted to see if it held up, if I could read it again and still enjoy it. So I picked it up. I got it for like $3 or
something
like that.
I thought we were
going to
do it to wrap up.
We will. Okay. But I was just kind of throwing that out there.
Just trying to help
anyway,
you keep it tight.
Any other comic related news that you guys have to share?
If anybody wants to sell me their Superman secret identity, please do so.
Oh crap! I forgot to look at Richard and see if they had that.
Superman's secret identity. Which one is that?
Issue series.
Mm-hmm. I have that on the shelf. Do you want to borrow it or do you want to buy it?
No, I got
all. I want it in trade.
If you just want to borrow it, I can just let you.
No, I want to buy it.
Now, when you say you have it in the four issues, do you mean that I'm borrowing it from you in the four issues? Because I think I have possession of it.
Wouldn't that be a good
movie?
It
does. Yes.
So that's Brandon.
Why don't they do that?
Make note of that.
Because nobody's going to watch it.
Would you watch another? They're going to reboot it again, aren't they?
I would watch it. You would watch it.
Wait, I mean, no, if they just did it that way, like, if they just did that as the movie, would you rather see that instead of a reboot?
I don't know.
You're not
Reading
this.
Like, do you think
that John Hamm would be a good Superman? I know they've been throwing that around.
Oh, John Hamm's like 50.
But see, like, I would love to see him do an old Superman, like, back in the 40s, like, not have it modern day, but have, like, a kind of, like, a Wayne Boring type Superman.
Makeup
like,
on him and he doesn't look that
old. That ship has sailed, though. I think if you look at nowadays what people think of a Superman, I don't think...
Yes, there are lots of different conversations going on.
Yeah.
Like, I would, like, love this.
Oh,
like,
you lost control already.
There you go, crazy. Adam.
I like fudge.
You were the person I was most thankful for, but you can't even control the podcast.
Am I going to have to be the leader that takes control? No. Am I going to have to coordinate this event?
And you know, if Sean's leading, we're in trouble.
So. Oh. One of the other things.
It's pretty obvious.
No.
Obvious. That's cool.
I want to talk about Ted.
Oh, you got shushed. Ooh.
Where's the light switch, Ted?
Huh? Where are we going to flip the lights?
What does the teachers do? They do the two finger? Yes, thank you, everybody.
I used to have a stoplight in school. Yeah.
Did you?
I thought you were requesting more light because it's getting dark and moody.
What school did you go to?
For the love of God.
So I was like,
I was at Bain Elementary School. Sorry, okay, done.
So one of the other things that I want to do, going back to the other original format, is we need to get back to the talking about what we read.
About actual comics.
Yeah, because a lot of people really enjoyed that. And what we used to do at Acme is we would each...
Danny enjoys it?
Yeah, sure. So what we did at Acme is we each picked one comic, and we each talked about one comic, and that was their one comic.
That's such a long time.
So the thing you're wanting to pinpoint is one.
Yes. Yes. Who would like to start talking about one comic?
I will.
Go, Brian.
Anybody else read...
No, it's about you.
Well, you can ask if anyone else reads.
No.
Did anybody else read the Mark Waid written Captain America Man Out of Time? Miniseries that just started either last week, maybe? Basically, it's retelling Cap coming out of the ice again. I thought it was really good. Covered some stuff with him and Bucky. In the military, kind of leading up to the accident that we thought killed Bucky and froze Cap. And then it's basically going to cover how different... It's going to cover more about what the adjustment was for Cap missing a couple of decades and coming back into a more modern world. But I thought it was really good.
I'm trying to think of everything that I read this week. This morning when I woke up, I read the Supergirl Annual that came out. Mm-hmm. Now, I dropped Supergirl. I pulled it off of my pull list. But I've decided to go ahead and pick up the annual. I can't remember.
Is it Brainiac 5 in it?
I didn't know at the time. I mean, like, it's her going to a different Legion. It was a Legion. She basically went to the future, and it was the Legion, but it's not the Legion that she had already known and gone to the future with. It wasn't a bad issue until I got to the end and I found out it's basically just kind of like a, hey, the future is going to be dark and Supergirl is going to die, but we're not going to tell you how. So now it's like, it's just one of those things like, hey, read more of this, which I guess is what comics should do. They should convince you to read more.
Kind of everyone's business plan.
But it just...
You like the comics that make you never want to pick one up again.
Yeah. But it just...
Like Crossed.
When I read it because I just wanted to read... Because a lot of times the annuals are... I don't know. Maybe I guess they are just kind of big mysteries for the next story arc or whatever. But
it depends. Like sometimes they use annuals to tell something completely out of continuity. Sometimes they tell it to wrap up a storyline.
Basically, it comes down to I'm talking
sometimes
about...
it's just ability to charge $2 more.
Basically, I'm talking about the Supergirl annual because I read that this morning, and that's the only thing that at this point that I can remember that I read this week.
You're not reading any of your sad, depressing...
I probably am. Supergirl, it wasn't bad. It was playful. It was fun. It was cute. But it did seem kind of like a book to just kind of get people to wonder about the next story arc.
No babies were eaten.
How dare they?
I know.
Want to sell more comics?
I know. Bastards. It's crazy.
How about you, Sean?
That was like the worst review in the world.
Yeah.
What?
That was like the worst review in the world that I gave.
Yeah. That made me want to not want to buy that book. Yeah.
All this was talking about other comics they wanted me to buy, sons of bitches.
But it wasn't that. It was a story about itself, and I don't know what the hell. I don't know why. I just didn't feel
good.
This
is the best opening to a show ever.
Yes, go ahead, Sean.
Okay, so I read American Vampire this morning. I love that series.
Hey, don't say anything. I didn't read that issue yet.
Yeah, I'm 2 issues behind.
Okay.
Nice review, Sean.
So I really like it, and I can't tell you why.
Okay, I'll talk about Toy Story then.
Oh, not reading that. So.
Dude, I love the comic, man. It's so much fun.
Toys Are Alive.
Is that a new miniseries that started, or is it
all
new? Yeah, it was Toy Story Tales from the Toy Chest or something, number 2. It was basically like the boy, Andy, is going on vacation, and the toys are like, ooh, we want to go with them. And so they're going on like a cruise, and it's like their misadventures on the cruise. It's fun.
So
that's right, ladies and gentlemen. She just went from American Vampire to Toy Story.
Range. That's range.
That's
folks.
Pretty much like my pull list is either Boom, kids books, or Vertigo.
So where does that happen in terms of continuity? Is that before Toy Story 3? Is that after Toy Story 3?
I actually haven't seen Toy Story 3.
Well,
yet.
What? Well, it doesn't.
How dare you?
I know.
It doesn't have the girl cowboy.
I cried.
And we just heard it.
I watched the credits before I left because I didn't want people to see how wet my face was after watching Toy Story 3. It made me cry so much.
Dish just in. Henry's a girl.
Okay,
that
Henry.
That's the second time you've told me a story about you crying today.
I'm always crying.
Aw. Poor Henry.
So, tragedy.
Anything you read lately, Henry, that hasn't made you cry?
Man, I had to think about what I've been reading because
I got it. Yeah, that's
okay.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, because I don't generally read superhero comics or like weekly comics, and so I read a lot of kind of mini comics and stuff. But some of the few things I have been reading is like I've been reading Shaky Kane's The Bulletproof Coffin. That is, I think, Image is making it.
Yeah,
and like I really like Shaky Kane's stuff from like the 80s. You know, he was kind of did like this like kind of like ugly looking punk rock kind of style. You know, but I think he's a really interesting guy. But I haven't seen anything from him in a long while, and I picked this up and it's okay. I gotta say, it's not a great read, but it's interesting.
If you like that, you might try the CBGB book that Boom Studios put out.
I've picked that up a couple times, and okay. I've flipped through it, and just it hasn't sold me. Just looking at it, but maybe I should take it home and read it.
They're hit and miss, I think. I mean, none of them have been bad, but they're hit and miss on
like style wise.
Yeah, style wise.
I like it enough that I keep reading it every time I see a new issue, and I've been reading the Adventures of Jack Staff. I guess that's already been out in some previous incarnations, but it's an enjoyable enough read. I kind of like that too.
The Weird World of Jack Staff is a crazy weird book.
I've never read it.
It's interesting. I like the art too. It's kind of very sharp. It also seems kind of 80s. I don't know. Maybe I think my heydays in comic readings was late 80s, early 90s, and I tend to gravitate right back to that stuff.
Brandon, have you read anything lately?
I'm with Sean. The American Vampire is really good. I enjoy the art. The art's incredible. What's his name? Albuquerque?
Yeah, Raphael Albuquerque.
It's insane. I know
the
that...
The place where Bugs Bunny always makes the wrong turn?
Yes. He made the right turn in American Vampire, but...
wow. Cutting room floor.
Womp, womp. Oh, that's awesome.
I was trying to be serious. Whoops. No, it's I've read the trade, and I haven't read anything after that. My understanding is that Stephen King has bailed.
He did. Stephen King basically was, I think, a tool to get people into the book.
He was a tool?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And then, like, he took it after, but
right. He contacted him to write
even
just
without Stephen King. It's awesome.
Well, the author contacted Stephen King just to write a blurb about it, and he ended up saying, I wanted to write a story, and he did the story, the backstory, and it's pretty incredible. I was impressed. The other thing I was reading is because it's Cowboy Ninja Viking. That book is insane.
I just like saying the title. It's Cowboy Ninja Viking.
Read the book. It's even funner. It's the artwork is nuts. The story is very unique. It's a breath of fresh air out there in comics.
Now, weren't we supposed to be doing like one thing?
Brandon, the one guy that doesn't ever read is Mr. Chatty McGee over there.
Yeah, I have a feeling that book is going to come up later on, so we probably should save some thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to
come up. Cowboy Ninja.
Well, just cut
it's
going to
come
out
later.
Nobody reads it, though.
I think it's pretty heavily represented in this circle.
By being us three?
Yeah, well, we're the smartest people here, so we'll talk it up.
I know, but we don't put things together.
Well, I'm holding that back.
No, that's right.
Boom. Notice how I said that no one challenged it.
We don't have the recording.
Next.
So where are you at, Ted?
You know, my books have been blah, so for one, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm bringing it up later, but it's probably Invincible.
Yeah.
It had his overdue number 75 come out, but like I said, I'll talk about it a little later.
Yeah,
I'll spoil it for you. So you better hope you get through those issues.
Yeah, I better hurry up and start reading them now.
At least half at least half of 75 came out.
I guess it's
I don't. Can we talk about that though? It's not a spoiler.
Okay.
It's not a spoiler because and this is actually kind of a warning if you have
like a 75A or something.
No. This is level set because you pick up issue 75, it's $5, and it's a big, thick issue.
$5.99.
Sorry, I'm corrected. And you think you're going to get this really huge Invincible story. Like, nah. I think you get like, I want to say it's normal size. I didn't do a page count.
It was a couple of pages.
Maybe two or four pages more. Yeah. And then you get an unwanted science dog add-in, which it was actually good. I thought it was the best one out of all the science dog. And then you get the continuation of Tech Jacket, which is the worst of any throw-in. It's even worse than that. I don't know if you guys are still reading Captain America. You know they're doing like the Chick Bucky?
Nomad.
Yeah.
Awful series. And with even worse art. Yeah. Well, Chick, yeah. Yeah.
No, she's from like Bucky. An alternate universe.
I sold a Tech Jacket trade at the Swap and Shop.
There's a Tech Jacket trade?
How much did you get for it?
$5.
Get out! Well, listen, did you sell it to Robert Kirkman?
I think Danny actually bought it.
Was that at Heroes Con when Robert Kirkman was giving away all those trades? He was giving away Tech Jacket, and as much as all of us like Kirkman, none of us took the Tech Jackets except the one that
I took
Adam took.
And then I sold it to Danny for $5.
Tech Jacket.
Danny is screwed.
He is one of the least interesting characters. Once you read that Viltrumite War stuff, you'll see totally useless. I don't know why he's there.
I also had three trades of capes, and nobody bought those.
Yeah, capes wasn't all that good either.
That wasn't good. But no one ever gave Brit a chance. I like Brit. Balls.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, well, that's all I got.
Where are you at, D?
Man. Well, right now I'm reading Invincible, number 74. I mean, lately, I tell you what, man. The other day, I'm letting one of my friends from work, she started reading Ultimate Spider-Man, and she just got done with the second Ultimate Collection trade. So I didn't have the third one, so I bought it for her.
How good a friend is.
Well,
can I buy you a fish sandwich?
I didn't really buy it for her. I mean, she doesn't keep it, but I bought it so she could read it, and I can put it back in my collection, thereby making it.
And she can bring it back over late one night to return it.
No, none of that going on. Anyway,
at least not yet.
Point being, it made me look at him again, and I blew through like the fourth, fifth, and sixth Ultimate Collection trades in less than an hour. Like, read all of them. Bam, bam, bam. That shit is so good. Except for it also made me read the Clone Wars one, and that one's not so good.
Everybody likes clones.
Yeah, I guess.
And symbiotes.
No.
And clones are symbiotes.
Yeah.
Okay, Heather.
I had.
Oh, wait, no, Adam's going to butt in.
I had multiple people.
I also read City of Demons.
I always get interrupted.
Yeah, you liking that? So I like it.
Yeah, it's decent.
It's the first weird, though, Hellblazer stuff I've read.
I'm not really sure that I'm exactly down with the way he writes. Because who's writing that again?
Cy Spencer.
Yeah. His Constantine is a little bit different than other ones. And it's basically just the way he speaks.
Yeah.
Stuff. It's just a little bit different than his normal attitude.
Okay.
But it's still decent. And I did read the new trade that just came out. The India.
Art's pretty good.
Yeah, the art's really good.
Yeah.
Ain't got no feelings.
Heather?
Tiny Titans, Little Archie, number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dance party. There's even instructions on how to dance in the back.
Borrow that.
Yeah, maybe I need to, too.
It is awesome.
Teach you how to do the bat, too, see?
Josie and the Pussycats make an appearance in this one.
Although... Toddler Josie and the Pussycats is kind of creepy. Because last time I saw Josie and the Pussycats, they weren't toddlers.
It was Rachel Lee Cook.
Why do you have to make it look Dawson. Creepy? Why?
That's what I'm here for.
Why do y'all ruin everything?
All right, so now that we're through all that chaos, hopefully you guys will stick with us. This is Adam and Sean, and we're going to talk a little bit about the stuff, as I mentioned earlier, about the stuff that we picked up at the Upstate Superhero Swap and Shop, which is basically... the comic book, community comic book yard sale that I put together, kind of was my idea. I couldn't have done it without Sean.
Oh, thank you.
Because though I make things, Sean actually makes things happen. And I couldn't have done that without her actually motivating and making sure things got done in a timely manner and stuff like that.
I tried. I've learned, and I think I can make it better.
So
I know what to expect for next time is what I'm trying to say.
So I think everybody had a really good time. Everybody had positive things to say. I don't know if they were talking about me behind my back and how terrible of a job I did. But the turnout was good. I think everybody sold some stuff. Everybody made a little money, cleared out some inventory, and really just kind of had fun in the process. Yeah, so Sean and I, you know, we sold a few things. We came back with more than we went, which I was expecting, but that's just kind of the way that Sean and I are.
Yeah, we're not really... we're not good at resisting the urge to buy things.
Yeah.
Well, since J. Chris was sitting beside us, I ended up trading and buying a bunch of stuff from him. I got an awesome beat to heck up Slave One. It's missing like a wing and glass and all sorts of parts and stuff, but it's really, really cool. I put it with my G.I. Joe headquarters on the helipad, and it is awesome. And I also got a one-armed Jabba the Hutt, which is really cool. He, like, moves his tail and his torso moves. He's got weird glowy eyes. I'm very excited about him. And I got a Joker and a Princess Leia and a Baron Zemo. So cool. J. Chris had a ton of Star Wars action figures, vehicles, and all kinds of... like weird random superhero stuff and a bunch of comics. I also picked up an issue of The Extremists. I picked up number 1. It's Peter Milligan and Ted McKeever. I've really been liking Ted McKeever's metaphor, and I've never read The Extremists before, so I'm excited to have that. Yeah, I mean, I love Jake Chris's stuff. I mean, when he brought his box of toys, I squealed like a little girl. It was awesome.
Thankfully, since it was Sean and I were able to work in tandem there, we could always be covering the booth, even though sometimes our table was exposed. But everybody, Josh Dean next to us, was pretty good at keeping an eye on it for me and calling me over, because I get sidetracked easily and distracted. Squirrel! And so Sean and I got to work together and try to cover the table while each of us shopped. And that's why we were able to buy so much shit. Probably would have been better if it was just one of us there.
Yeah, I didn't buy that much. And the stuff that I bought, I mean, I bought, you know, a handful of books and some action figures, but I can hide those away.
So I was able to get across the show. The show was set up in a horseshoe. I was able to get across the way to a couple of half-sunburned fellas who were selling books for a friend of theirs, whose name I cannot remember, and I feel like such a prat for not being able to remember this. Basically, a few years ago, he died of brain cancer, and he left them his collection, and they've been selling the collection off to kind of pay for college for his son and stuff like that. If anybody can remember his name, please go ahead and comment on the show and let me know, because I'm drawing a blank. They were selling his collection, and he has a huge collection. They had only brought the cheap stuff to go ahead and try to sell at the swap and shop. Everything that he had, all of his boxes were in chronological order. And when I say that, I mean straight up, they were in chronological order. Like, they weren't broken into, like, Batman and then chronological order. They were in chronological order.
It was whatever books he bought that week, he just dropped them in the box and put a board to divide them.
Yeah. Yeah, so they were all divided.
So cool to go through.
Yeah. It's like, it was like basically you're looking at comics that he bought through time, you know? You could see the order of which they were purchased in. It was a little too much for me. Sean loves that kind of stuff, and she loves digging, so it worked out really good for her. I only went through like two boxes.
I like different people's way. I like to see how different people categorize things.
Or do you?
What?
You just like to give me shit for the way I categorize my things.
Yeah. I mean, I like to experience other people's organizational structures, but I...
And then make fun of me.
I personally am a straight alphabet.
So across the way over there, I went through two long boxes. In the second long box, I found a comic. And that comic was the Batman and Robin. No, wait. The adaptation of the movie Batman and Robin.
The official comic adaptation of the Warner Brothers motion picture Batman and Robin by Dennis O'Neill, Rodolfo DiMaggio, Bill Sienkiewicz, with Pat Guerrieri.
So I came across this book and I had to get it for Sean, and it's, I guess, an inside joke.
Dude, it's got Bill Sienkiewicz as the inker. It's not that bad.
No, I believe it. Sure. But that's not why I bought it for you.
I hate you sometimes.
However, the comics were, I believe, two for a dollar. So at that point, I was like, well, I'm getting one. I got to keep digging until I find another one. And then I came across, very shortly after that, the Superman Madman Hullabaloo number 3.
I think we bought number 2.
I've bought one and two.
Twice. I bought number 2 for you.
Yeah, I have a few sets of 1 and 2. I never came across 3. I finally found number 3. However, now in that collection, there is a 1 and 2 with no 3. So I got number 3, so I was able to buy that from them. But just kind of to go through the table real quick, later on throughout the day, I went back to that table quite a few times. Also in that table, I found... Oh, that's right. I forgot. I found these at the same time. I found these before I even found that Batman and Robin. I found Cave Woman number 5 by Bud Root, signed by Bud Root in 98. I have quite a collection. I like to call it quite a collection because it's new still. I only have a few
quite
issues.
Quite a collection, if you know what I mean.
of Cave Woman. No, I have like, what, 8 issues of Cave Woman. It's been coming out for years, but there aren't that many of them. Yeah, she does have big boobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I got number 5, signed by Bud Root in 98. And then also in there was a Cave Woman original series trade, also signed by Bud in 98. This was originally priced at $13, and I got it for a dollar.
Dude, there's some awesome dinosaurs in that thing.
Oh, dude, Bud Root can draw his ass some dinosaurs, man. And some big old titties.
And butts.
And butts.
She's got a what is the phrase, badonkadonk?
She got some junk in the trunk. Yeah, she's just a pretty girl. If her boobs were smaller, she'd still be hot. I'm just saying.
It's the lips that didn't do it
for me. The lips, man. The lips are crazy. Bud draws some sexy lips, man. Sexy lips. Anyway, so I got this original series, Cave Woman Trade, and I picked up, and I think I got this from the same table, Superman Gen 13, which is written by Adam Hughes. It's got Superman and Supergirl on the cover, so I had to pick that up, as well as the Lex Luthor trade paperback of the Brian Azzarello Lex Luthor series. Sean and I believe on the drive up there or earlier in the week, we're talking about the Lex Luthor series.
We were. Because
I think I was talking about that that Joker series and how it like sold like gangbusters.
Yeah, we were talking about all sorts of various things that led us to
and
that.
I didn't really, I thought that Joker was okay, but I really remembered liking the Brian Azzarello Lex Luthor. It's one of the first things I read when I was getting back into comics. So I was curious if it would hold up and I would still enjoy it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same team that did Joker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Azzarello and Lee Romeo.
Yeah, I came across it. It was a dollar for this Lex Luthor miniseries, The Man of Steel. So I picked all that stuff up. And again, all that went to the donation of And go ahead and comment if you can remember his name. I'm thinking Cliff.
I also picked up several things from those guys. I got a couple of the Batman adventures, and Batman and Robin adventures, and Batman Gotham adventures, like the comics based off the TV show. I love the art. It's so cool. Harley Quinn and Batgirl. It's awesome. And I got Birds of Prey, number one, Chuck Dixon and Greg Land. When Greg Land didn't just trace...
Like, yeah, the art is extremely different than what everybody knows as Greg Land art.
It's so good. Like, the chicks have facial expressions that don't look like, you know, the O face. I mean, it's really good, and I was really surprised that it was Greg Land. It's not like porn stars that have been traced.
They don't look like they got punched in the uterus while having an orgasm.
I like to call it the punched in the face. With a penis look. And I got Sergio Argona's Destroys DC.
Yeah.
It's written by Mark Ebonier. Very excited. Love Sergio. And even though I don't have number one or any of the other ones, I got Batman, Hellboy, Starman. Because 50 cents. Who's not going to pick that up? And I tried to find like the number one, but didn't know when it came out. And was trying to go back a couple months or weeks and... couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
somebody probably already got it, but it's really cool. James Robinson and Mike Mignola. What?
set up next to us was Josh Dean. Josh Dean is the head of and the brains behind the Upstate Comic Book Club in Greenville, South Carolina, that we meet once a month. And I've started going to those, and I love it. Sean just went recently to discuss Young Avengers.
I went this past Monday while Adam watched the Redskins get their butt kicked.
So Josh was next to us, and he was selling some dirt cheap books because
free books,
and he also had a box of free books. But he was selling a bunch of books to, you know, I guess to put money toward the Upstate Comic Book Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Josh kept convincing me to buy these books. Actually, I don't know if he gave me some of these, jerk.
Well, I gave him some stuff of yours.
We did. Oh, okay. So Josh, first off, I told him that I'd bought that Lex Luthor Brian Azzarello series. And he said, hey, did you ever read the series from back in the 90s? And I was like, no, I haven't. And so he went and he's like, I've got it. And he went and dug up Superman's nemesis, Lex Luthor. And I either bought them or they were like, what? $1 for four for $1 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it was like 25 cents each.
So I got those four issues from Josh. And I got another thing, but we'll come back to Josh on my side later because, again, it leads in from something else just like this Luther one did.
I can talk about what I got from Josh.
Yes.
He brought a bucket full or a tub.
I believe it was
like
the first purchase you made, isn't it?
Yes. He brought a Rubbermaid tub full of awesome DC action figures, and I bought a Captain Cold. Pew! Pew, pew. It's pretty sweet. He's missing his glasses, but I don't care. Because if he put his glasses on, you can't really see his, like, smirky, like, I hate you face. And I also got a Santa figurine from him. Somebody bought his entire tub of action figures and did not want the Santa. I was like, well, I mean...
Why do you hate Christmas?
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, I like Santa.
Yeah, luckily you got that Captain Cold before that tub, because that tub got bought up about 10 minutes later.
It did. So I'm glad I got Captain Cold. I love his outfit. His costume is awesome.
The first table in the list, the one next to Josh, was the first table that I sold. And that was to Evan Cantrell, another member of the Upstate Comic Book Club. Now, Evan had similar stuff, and I can't remember. I think he had like I'm looking at three issues here, so I'm assuming... some sort of three for a dollar deal or something. I have no idea.
God, I can't remember.
Maybe there was four issues and I got them mixed up.
I think all of his books were a dollar.
A dollar?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. He had sets that were mask and taped together and marked, but I think most of them were a dollar.
Like, I don't know. I thought
he had some cool stuff, but like nothing that I didn't already have.
And I'm probably getting all of these books mixed up, but I'm pretty sure I bought these from Evan. But he had the Wolverine dupe, 1 and 2, which is both issues, and that is by Peter Milligan with Darwin Cook and Jay Bone. and I could not pass that up. I remember having these two issues and needing to buy one more for some reason and looking for another issue. And I came across, well, Richard actually found it. And I don't know if he found it jokingly or if he found it. But anyway, it was The Last Christmas. And it's by Jerry Dugan and Brian Posehn with art. And most of you probably already know this, but I don't know a lot of stuff. With art by Rick Remender. Not written by Rick Remender. Art by Rick Remender. So, The Last Christmas. I look forward to reading this. It was on Image Comics. And it's got Santa Claus with some guns and a bunch of dead elves. How could it be bad? It can't be. I'll tell you that. It can't be. Thanks, Evan.
I looked through. He had some really cool stuff, but I didn't see anything that I didn't already have or really wanted. He had some Sarah Bisses, but not the one where Dave Sim goes on his rant about women. Oh, wait, no. I traded with him. That's right.
That's Evan.
We made a trade. I got the first two volumes of Urasawa's Monster, the manga. What did he pick up? He picked up Neverwhere.
He picked up Mike Carey's adaptation of Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, and he picked up Destroyer by Kirkman and Corey Walker.
I think that was a good trade.
I think so too, because I thought the Neverwhere was terrible, and though I enjoyed Destroyer, I don't think I'd ever was going to read it again. But it was good.
Really good things about Monster.
Speaking of Mike Carey, Seek across the way had a table, and his table, he was just like six for a dollar and just giving things away, right? Practically. And actually, he did. He donated to everything that was left over that he didn't sell. He donated to the Upstate Comic Book Club. So we're going to go ahead and I'll talk to Josh, but I'm kind of leaning toward the idea of maybe selling those for donations, for money toward the Comic Book Club online or something like that. Maybe on the Dollar Bin site or something.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Josh and maybe we'll get that put together.
Okay.
But it's two long boxes. Probably three quarters of the way full.
Even more than that.
It's a Marvel and a DC long box. Seek had a whole bunch of Mike Carey stuff. Because I guess Seek lived out in LA or something. He worked with Mike Carey on some stuff. So he had a whole bunch of Mike Carey stuff. And he was really just giving away all the Mike Carey stuff. He wasn't even selling it. So I got Mike Carey's One-Sided Bargains. I like Mike Carey. Love his stuff. It also has Mike Perkins. And I really like Mike Carey's stuff. Except for Neverwhere. And his X-Men, but that's for a different discussion. And I can't remember what else I got from Seek. I know I got other stuff from him, and it's all mixed in.
I picked up a fair amount of stuff from him. I completed my run of Ultimate Fantastic Four. I think I dropped that at around like the late 50s, the mid 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended at 60. I was like, well, crap. I almost have a complete run. I was like, I'll fill it in one day. So I got the rest of the Ultimate Fantastic Fours. And I got Daredevil Fall from Grace Chapter 3.
It's the last one missing. You needed.
It's the last one I needed. I actually had my list with me, and it was written down. With Editor-in-Chief Tom DeFalco.
Ooh.
I know.
You'll hear him next week. Or not him, but mention of him. Oh. I won't tell you where.
That's what I got from Seek. Ultimate Fantastic Four. Oh, Mike Carey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was so bad, I dropped it.
I don't like Mike Carey's continuity stuff. We'll do a show on Mike Carey one day. I love his, of course, I love Unwritten. I love his Minx books that he did.
Oh, yeah.
I love his Crossing Midnight. But that's beside the point. The point is, I got a bunch of stuff. Now, let's see. Jumping around. I cannot remember where I got half this stuff from at this point. There's a lot of stuff, just I can't remember I got it.
You bought something from everybody.
I did. I bought something from everybody, and it's hard to keep straight.
Okay.
There was one guy who had a lot of stuff from the 90s, and I really wanted to buy something from him, and I really just couldn't find anything that I wanted. And then, at the end of one of his long boxes, I came across about 10 issues of Aliens from the 90s. And for those of you who actually pay attention when I talk, which is, well, not even Sean, so...
I love you, baby.
I've been trying to pick up the incomplete collection of all Aliens comics that were printed in the 90s.
And Predator.
And Predator, but I'm more focused on Aliens.
And Star Wars.
Well, yeah, the Star Wars is all of the Dark Horse Star Wars stuff that was printed in the 90s and early 2000s. And I've also started my collection of Star Wars Marvel comics, which is going to be take a little longer for me to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Anyway, so I've got I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 issues of Aliens. Man, here's the problem. I don't have a list. I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at keeping a list. And I think I don't have all these issues, but there's probably one or two of these that I already had. But it doesn't matter. I got a shitload of Aliens comics that if I already have them, I'll sell them down the road myself. Why not, right? But yeah, there's a bunch of hero stickers on some of them too. So yay. That's funny. And that kind of convinced me to go ahead and make the buy. Because I think stuff like that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But that being said, I came back to our booth with my stack of Aliens comics. And again, the Josh Dean asked me, do you have Music of the Spears? And I said, I don't know, Josh. I don't think I do. And he said, well, I do. And so then Josh hooked me up with Aliens Music of the Spears 1-4 from 93 with covers by Tim Bradstreet and actually inked by Tim Bradstreet as well. So I've got that from Josh. Aliens Music of the Spears. Booyah! Aliens Complete Collection, here I come.
Oh, you're so funny. Bob Waltrip, who organizes the Greenville Comic Book and Sports Card Show.
Yeah, they have a show 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The next one is December 4th.
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's a 10-4, and it's going to be at the Clarion Inn and Suites.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Him and Rick Fortenberry put those on. Mm-hmm. They're a lot of fun. I picked up a Daredevil from him because it had Night Owl on the cover.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited. And guess who else? Who was the editor-in-chief?
Tom DeFalco.
Tom DeFalco.
I liked him. You know, I met Bob for the first time, really. I think I'd briefly met him at one of his shows, but this is the first time I've really ever had a conversation with him. And I like Bob, and I like what he's doing. I think he has a lot of fun doing it, him and his brothers and stuff. And it's a good show. Yeah. I believe you can catch video of one of his shows a few years ago, or a couple years ago, that Brian and I went to. And Buddy Prince was there and a couple other people.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he was a really sweet guy. I was glad that I picked up something.
Seems to enjoy what he does.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I don't know. Where does Silver Age end, my dear?
There's a little bit of debate, but I think the mid-ish to late 70s, maybe. I don't know the official. I can look it up, maybe.
Well, then... That's not what I bought here, but anyway.
Those are 80s, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I was kind of looking at the dates. And they were 50 cents. They were priced at 50 cents, so I was kind of, I wasn't sure. Anyway, I bought a bunch of Jonah Hex comics. I bought like Jonah Hex 72 through 75 from one of the guys. And he had a bunch of stuff. I think I paid $1 an issue for those. And I've been reading Jonah Hex, the Palmiotti and Gray Jonah Hex for a little while now, so I wanted to go back and pick up some old Jonah Hex issues and kind of read them and see how they felt compared to the current Jonah Hex. So I picked those up, and I like that. I like it. So yeah, so I picked those up from John Brunn, and I definitely he had a whole lot of stuff. He had some Silver Age stuff, I'm pretty sure, in there, and a mixed in with dollar books and all sorts of stuff like that. A lot of things that I wanted to get.
Apparently the end, or it's... Silver Age goes from 1956 to about 1970.
Oh, wow, it's even older.
Yeah.
I thought it went into the 70s somewhere.
I thought it did, too. Then the Bronze Age is the 70s to 85. Yeah, those are Bronze Age comics. And then Modern Age is now. Are we going to have a post-modern age? A pomo?
I don't know where I was. I was moving next door to Jim Ruby. Jim Ruby. Holy shit, Jim Ruby. Jim Ruby had so much stuff. Somebody had canceled, so Jim Ruby got himself an extra table, and he filled both of them. He had so much stuff, and he had awesome stuff, too.
Yeah, he did.
And Jim Ruby, when I have this next one, he's going to be back. So he had a lot of awesome stuff. Definitely, definitely recommend checking his stuff out.
I took pictures, and I posted it on my Facebook page, but if you check the event for the Upstate Comic Club, I posted a link so you can find me in the pictures somewhere on there. And I took a picture of his stuff, and somebody commented, like, "Ah, oh, you got awesome stuff." He's like, "Still for sale."
Upstate Superhero Swap and Shop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Event. You said Comic Club. That's cool. Besides the point. The point
I'm
is...
Do you want me to say that?
No, that's fine. Upstate Superhero Swap and Swap. If you do a search for that on Facebook, the event, and you, there's a link there.
Yeah.
From him, like, first off, he, like I said, he had posters. He had a giant the Adam Hughes Power Girl JSA Classified.
Number one
cover. Badass. And he had some, like, cells. He had, like, a Nightcrawler cell, and he had a Wolverine animated cell, and he had, like, just pictures and picture frames, and he had, like, Star Trek stuff. Richard bought a big Star Trek thing from him, signatures, I think, on it,
yeah.
And he had a crap load of comics and toys and all sorts of cool stuff. So hopefully Jim will definitely be back. Hopefully he'll definitely be back. That's awesome. So let's see, what we buy from Jim. Well, for starters, I ended up buying the Supergirl Mini Happy Returns trade paperback, which is the Peter David, Ed Bennis Supergirl story, which I'd never read. Again, this is kind of some of the older stuff. Not older, I guess, but anyway, older than the current story.
It's before you started reading.
Yes, comics. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I went ahead and picked that up. Now, on top of that, see, I also, and I cannot remember where I got this, but I also got a Supergirl number one, which is the 1996 Supergirl, written by Peter David, with art by Gary Frank.
Ooh, Gary Frank.
Huh?
Ooh, Gary Frank, I love him.
So I picked this up, too, because it had Supergirl holding some sort of weird skateboard on the cover, and I saw Peter David and Gary Frank. So I picked this up. So this is...
I think
part of that.
Did
same...
you get that from Evan? Maybe, and that was part of the four.
Possibly
that you got from him.
Possibly, I don't
still think that his were a dollar though. I don't remember.
It was a good deal, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I got that, and so I bought those, and I can't remember where I got that from, but I did get Supergirl trade from Jim Ruby. I also got the Marvel trivia game. Okay, Danny brought this over, and Gary, Danny, Sean, and I, and Gary
their wives.
Played Marvel Trivia. And this trivia game, I can't... What year is it from? I always forget. 2001?
I think so. It says it.
And where does it say it?
On
the card? Or
instructions.
It's from like 2001 or something. So all the questions are prior to 2001. Copyright. Yeah, copyright 2001.
Okay.
All the questions are prior to 2001. And since I started reading in 2004 and read some in the 90s, you know, some of them are general questions. Some of them are super duper hard. Some of them are like, you know, golden age, silver age questions. Things like that, right? Anyway, it was so much fun to play, and Danny and Gary, who are like, you know, they worked at Heroes when Heroes had a shop in Greenville, which I guess eventually became Borderlands when mm-hmm. Stan bought it.
Yeah, Stan bought it, and they moved, and it became Borderlands.
So they know a shitload more about comics than Sean and I.
Dude, we were like cleaning up.
Yeah, we were
doing like 3-point questions.
Gary and Danny kept trying to hit the 4 and 5-point questions.
Yeah,
and they were missing them, but we were hitting the 3 points. But...
And then we hit a bad streak, and
we
just couldn't recover.
And Gary took the lead because he was just nailing those 5-point questions at one point.
Yeah, man, I kept making fun of like Batroc the Leaper, and one of the questions, like I picked 3 instead of 4, and it would have been
wussed out on us.
Yeah, who's the French guy who jumps around? Like, dude.
So we bought Marvel Trivia Game. There's some plans for some Dollar Bin trivia podcasts, which I think are going to be really fun to listen to. We got this one. We also have another one, an extra super special one that I don't want to let the cat out of the bag on yet because it's not my idea. So I don't want to, you know, steal any thunder on that. But there's another Marvel or another comic book trivia game that we have planned in the future as well. So we got this. Well, we got this so we can play, find out how little the Dollar Bin knows about Marvel comics. One day?
You'll be surprised.
No, they don't think they will. So I bought that from Jim Ruby. Also, he had a bag of Inuyasha figures from the animated show Inuyasha, or manga, or however you want to look at it. And I bought those, and he said that his daughter would be thrilled because that was her donation.
That is so sweet that she donated something.
Yeah. So I bought the Inuyasha toys figures, which can go next to my other Inuyasha figures that I have a collection of already.
You're so cute.
And that's all I can remember buying from Jim Ruby at this point.
I filled in some holes. American Vampire 2, 3, and 4. And I'm very excited. Like, I read them at Heroes, but I didn't buy them because I'm lame sometimes. Back whenever I used to work at the store and could read anything and it didn't matter. But now I'm trying to like go back and fill in
gaps.
Some of the gaps. So I got 3 issues of American Vampire. I'm very excited. I love this series. It's awesome. That is all I bought or traded. I talked about my Slave One. I talked about my action figures, and I picked up a couple comics.
Across the way, over by Bob, there was a duder who was
That's the guy that I bought.
Yeah. He had a bunch of like sci-fi movies, which I told him was completely cool. I was down with it. I almost thought about doing that myself. I didn't get around to it.
I wanted those Farscapes.
He had every season of Farscape for $50 for all of them.
Yeah.
From him, he was doing trades. He had a bunch of trades for sale also. And like $5 or $8, $8 trades I think he was doing. I bought 2 Walking Dead trades that I didn't have because I had all the issues. I was selling all my issues after 48. If anybody's interested in all the issues after 48, I have those for sale. I also bought Chew Volume 1. I'd been avoiding Chew. Terrence talks so highly about it. And I read the $1 free issue or whatever they recently did of Chew, number 1.
I think they did a reprint.
A reprint or something. I don't know.
It might have been $1. I don't remember.
So I read that and I liked it. So I went ahead and this was $5. I bought the trade, the first volume of Chew. So I got 2 Walking Dead trades and the first volume of Chew for like $20 or something. So Catherine Nelson, who was dressed like Shaun of Shaun of the Dead, had the cricket bat and everything.
Nice.
she had her table, and she had a bunch of trades. And like she had a lot of stuff that I already owned that she was selling. A lot of Warren Ellis stuff, a lot of Avatar stuff like that. Like the Dr. Sleepless and just kind of things. And I was like, I really wanted to buy something from Catherine. I tried to buy something from everybody. But again, like I already had everything. And then I finally saw that she had the trade of Apparat, which is a singles collection of Warren Ellis stuff. And it's Warren Ellis, and it's got like some Jason Burroughs and Juan Jose Rip and a bunch of other Avatar guys. It's an Avatar collection. So I was like, oh, sweet, something I can get that I haven't had, I haven't read. So I talked to her about Warren Ellis, and I talked to her about Avatar for a little while, and I went ahead and picked up this the singles collection from Catherine. Okay, New Universal. I bought New Universal Volume 1, which is really, I think, everything, because New Universal just stopped coming out. Thanks, Warren Ellis. I don't know what goes on with Warren Ellis, and I just need to have a sit down with him.
He's got too many irons in the fire, something.
Yeah.
Pies in the oven.
New Universal, which was awesome, and it just stopped, and I have it all in issues, but now I have this trade collection because I liked it, and I do plan on reading through it again and being disappointed that it doesn't continue at some point. And I have all the issues that I can sell now or whatever, and I can keep this trade. So I replaced that. I upgraded. And finally,
last but certainly not least.
2 of the table owners were local. I spoke of them last week's show, local novelists. They each had 2 books for sale. I talked to them a bit about their different books, and I chose 1 from each of them. I told them I had not read a novel in years. Ever since this whole comic podcast thing, it's like completely fucked my novel reading. I was reading like novels galore, and I just don't do it anymore.
Shame on you. I throw in a couple novels.
Yeah, awesome.
A year or several.
That was my New Year's resolution, was read more novels, and I've already thrown the shit into that one. Here's the bitch about novels. You can't flip through a novel and know what it's about. I'm so used to that now. You pick up a trade, you pick up a comic, you flip through it.
You kept flipping through them and saying like, what, there's no pictures in this? It was really funny. I don't know if they found it as funny as I did, but I thought it was hilarious.
How the hell am I supposed to know what this book is about with no pictures to look at in it? How do I know if I want to like it? If I'm going to like it, if I want to buy it. So I bought The Undead Wedding by James Lucas. And to make matters confusing, I also put them next to each other to extra confuse matters. So I bought that. And I bought Project 19, The Blazer Saga by James Cogdell. I want to tell these guys if I liked it or not. Or at least tell you guys if I like it or not. I'll tell them I like it. But...
But you're going to have to read it.
But I have to read them first.
Yeah.
They're not huge. They should be pretty quick reads. Yeah. I mean, one of them's like 170 pages, and the other one's like 270 pages. So it's all about finding time in between, you know, reading comics, keeping up to date on that stuff, working my job, and editing a stupid-ass podcast. I don't really have time for the novels.
back when we kept flying, or I kept flying, I'd knock out a book, a trip.
Well, that's when I was able... Oh, I did. I read Ender's Game this year.
There you go.
I read a novel, and I read it because we were flying. That's the only reason I was able to read it. And then I fucking forgot to bring a book with me when I went to New York. I was so pissed off. I could have read another book on the way to New York again for the con. But anyway, that's everything I bought, and all of it, it was awesome deals. Everybody there had some really cool stuff, especially if you're looking for a complete run of Countdown.
And, thank you to everybody who came out. I hope everybody had fun. I really do. We tried to make sure that we got a lot of people, and people were buying stuff. And I mean, hopefully everybody at least made their table money back. I think so.
I think everybody did. but I think if nothing else, everybody had a good time.
Exactly.
And I think, and I feel good about it because I think there was enough crowd there that, you know, like us, if you didn't sell a lot of stuff, you just didn't have what people were looking for.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people there, and I was pretty happy with the turnout. And I hope to have another event in the near, but not too near future.
Yeah, and check out the pictures that I took on the Facebooks.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you stuck around for this part after, you know, the excitement of the first part. We didn't knock you out or put you to sleep or anything.
I think you put me to sleep.
Well, then I'll say goodnight.
Good night.